Hello and welcome to another episode of 5280 Nerd. I am one of your hosts, Micah McCartney.
And I am the other, Sean Porter. This is episode 31. Thank you guys so much for joining us. How was your week, Micah?
It was great, buddy. Another great week. Got some Call of Duty going on this weekend. I'm going to do a LAN with a bunch of friends of mine. We're going to all just get in the same room and fucking nerd the fuck out on Call of Duty. So it's going to be good. How about you, buddy?
Yeah, man. Real busy at work. Still working on the whole house hunt thing. But life's good, man. No complaints. The weather is beautiful here in Colorado this week. So, yeah, man.
Yeah.
Life's good.
Good, bro. Yeah, did you do any gaming? Did you do anything fun this week? Or are you just kind of crazy busy?
Mostly crazy busy. I tried to get in some games of Rocket League. It's pretty much the only thing I really played this week. But, yeah, man, it's a ton of fun. I'm really glad that game came out. Been playing it a ton. Yeah. How about you, man?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just playing a lot of Rocket League and a lot of Call of Duty. So, other than that, nothing really. I'm just excited to... I love it when me and my friends can get together and do LANs. I mean, if any of our listeners are out there, if you haven't gotten... just like four or five of your friends with Xbox Ones in the same room and just fucking nerd the fuck out, you need to do it. It's good therapy. So,
well, let's get into it a little bit. We have just a brief 2 cent section. There was a new trailer that came out for Daredevil. It's the season 2 part 2 trailer. Came out, was really amazing, super phenomenal trailer. Blew my mind for sure. There was a lot of great little teasers in there. Elektra, they talked about the Hand, the Punisher, of course. Super excited to see this next season of Daredevil. I think they're gonna find a way to top themselves from last season. Really, just Netflix just stepping their game up big on this.
I did not see this trailer yet, but did they hint towards what's his name coming back from season one, the villain?
Kingpin?
Yeah. Is he going to come back, or are they
I haven't seen anything about him yet. I'm sure sometime in the season he will. So far, they've more hinted towards the Yakuza, which he was partnered with. They pushed them out of New York, and then they're coming back, and that's kind of why Elektra is making her appearance. But yeah, I don't know. I hope so. I think, yeah, that would be really phenomenal if they brought him back as well.
Well, not only that, I think it'd be it's necessary. It'd be kind of a misstep on their part, because you have to keep the ultimate villain of Daredevil, Kingpin, in the loop. You know, I know it's good to bring new storylines in and all that, but he's gotta be in it. D'Onofrio or whatever his name is.
Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah, he, for sure, I think he did a phenomenal job. I think there's just got so much going on that they could skirt it for a few episodes. I'm sure sometime in the season he's got to come back. But between the Punisher and Elektra and the Hand being a big part, I think their plates are going to be full for a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, man, I think for sure they definitely need to bring him back. He was a great actor, did a phenomenal job, definitely added a whole real darkness, I felt like, to it.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. What a great, great role that was for season one. So, we'll see.
Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, Sean, let's jump right into the news. Since we've been playing a lot of Rocket League, and we hope... our listeners have been, too, on the Xbox One. If you have, let us know. Did you download it on Xbox One? Did you play it on PC? What have you guys been doing? Did you just not download it at all? Have you kind of just waiting to see if it's fun? Me and Sean love it. It has 12 million players. Now, Sean, is that with just Xbox One, or is that... the whole shebang?
Yeah, that's across all PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One. And then they even made a clarification that it was a So they've sold 4 million copies up to this point, and they're able to come up with 12 million players because guest players on people's games. I believe on PlayStation 4 and on Xbox One, you could do split screen. So a lot of kids playing together, that sort of thing, playing on one account. So yeah, I think that's how they're able to get up to those crazy numbers, and I'm sure partly maybe pirated a little bit too. I don't know. But yeah, definitely 4 million copies still sold is insane. So
yeah. Yeah, it's a pretty successful game. I know that I see why now. It's just it's exciting. It's like playing a sports game with a friend, like Madden or something. But it's been a good thing. I unlocked all the cars finally, Sean. That took a while. But doing the seasons aren't really fun unless you boost the bot's difficulty all the way to the top. So there's a pro tip for you, because I did it, and it was way too easy, and I was like, ugh, I just got to finish this achievement. But so, yeah, let's see. They've generated more than $70 million in revenue, which is insane. I want to know how much it cost to develop it.
It was just, they said that they were able to develop it for about $2 million. So that's a hefty profit for sure.
Yeah. $2 million, you get 70 back. That's pretty dang good.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not been out that long on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So it's only going to go up. It's only $20 too to generate that much income. It's phenomenal. And they have a whole bunch of other things that are coming up as far as like car packs and stuff and expansions. And like, I know I bought the DeLorean car kit pack. I don't know what you want to call it. It's like $2. And you get a cool car. We talked, I think it was last week or the week before, about DeLoreans making new cars and they're $100,000. But you could own one for $2 on Rocket League.
That's right. You can have your own DeLorean. I'm thinking about getting mine.
Yeah. For sure.
So awesome. Yeah, the new packs coming in March. They are going to have a Batman vs. Superman car pack, which is very exciting. I did see a picture on the interwebs of the new Batmobile from Batman vs. Superman, and that's going to be in the Rocket League. Me and Sean were talking beforehand. They are calling this a Batman vs. Superman car pack, so we're assuming that there's going to be more than one, not just the new Batmobile from Batman vs. Superman. Maybe they'll do like a Superman car or something, Sean. I don't know. I hope so. But I'm very excited for that. I think that's a great idea to release car packs. I mean, it's hard to say no to that, especially if they're affordable. If you release a car pack for $5 for two cars, or it depends. If you get in the $10 range, that kind of might be too much, but I don't know. I mean, because the game was $20, so you don't want to spend a DLC for more than what the game was actually worth that you paid for. But what do you think about this, Sean?
Yeah, man, like, I think it's just fun, you know, like, I don't feel like there's not necessarily, like, an advantage to another car. They're all pretty much the same mechanics, they're all about the same speed, maybe, like, they're slightly bigger, but yeah, it's fun to have, like, customization stuff. Like, you could do a lot of stuff with, like, paint jobs, and, I know they have, like, endless amounts of little, like, antenna dongles and hats, they call them, that you can put these, like, things on top of your car that are either physical hats or they're, like, a boombox or something. And then different types of tires and stuff. So it's, like, it's really cool that you could customize it in a way, and then plus get all these special cars. Like, I know my DeLorean, you can't really customize anything except for maybe, like, the color. But, yeah, it's a genius way to have, like, in-game purchases that you could continue to generate revenue from, because it's stuff that you don't necessarily need. It doesn't make you necessarily a better player. It's not disadvantaging other people who don't have money to spend on it. It's just fun. It's just like, it's just total aesthetic goodness. So I definitely appreciate it. I think it's cool that they're bringing, like, there's so many, like, classic cars out there that you could incorporate into it. Like, I think it's cool that they want to do Knight Rider, the kit car. They're gonna do a Batman versus Superman car. But yeah, I mean, there's a ton out there that you could exploit as long as you could try to get the rights from. I'm sure that's the most expensive part.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I love the game. I think it's great. It's definitely, I mean, granted, it's faux pas in the last couple of years. Chipotle has like a great saying that like doing one thing great, which they kind of messed up lately, but the idea of like figuring out what you do great and just doing that perfectly and repeating that over and over and over for success is definitely what Rocket League figured out. They made a perfect game. It's not complicated. The graphics are on point. The mechanics work great, and then they just made it work perfectly, and they just ride that train until those wheels fall off. So,
well, Chipotle did a good job because they have continued to do what they do best, and that is make people bleed out of your asshole. So now they really did that. Anyway, that's a funny joke in my head because I haven't eaten Chipotle since that whole thing went down.
I have.
But anyway, I agree. You have?
Yeah.
Are you bleeding out of your poopy?
No, the CDC said that it's fine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, back to news. Little side rabbit trail to Sean's bowels and back. Yeah, I think that there's a great opportunity for them to bring even more superhero cars, hopefully. I mean, Batman versus Superman. I mean, they could bring a whole catalog. They should just have a Batman, a whole Batman pack where you can get like the original Adam West Batman.
Sure. Batman 66 and
yeah.
The Michael Keaton.
Yeah. I loved all the Batmobiles, even though I didn't love all the Batman movies. So that would be fun. The Tumbler would be dope. And maybe, you know, maybe they could introduce motorcycles. That could be like a DLC pack. Yeah. That would be fun if you could start. Because really, if you kind of made them bulky motorcycles, it would be essentially the same thing. I don't think it'd be cheating. If they're the same speed, it might be harder to hit the ball. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot that they can keep doing with this. I hope they continue with the car packs. And hopefully they make them affordable, too. That's the key. Microtransactions are a tricky thing in any type of game. MMORPGs to little dinky fun games like this. You got to be careful how you price it. So.
Sure. Yeah, man. I think you could build a lot of different arenas. I mean, I think that'd be easy because basically the playing field is the same. You're just making the aesthetics, again, change. And you could do anything with that. I mean, you could copy a stadium from the Olympics that are coming up in the summers or whatever's going on, you know? Like, I think you could have one that's like set in the middle of Gotham
or something.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So it's endless. I think it's a great game. If you guys, like we say every time, if you guys want to play with us, we're always down to play with you guys. Our gamer tags are always going to be in the show notes. When we're on and we're not busy, of course. But yeah, come join us. Join us and our buddy Clarence anytime you want.
Yeah, good times for sure, man.
Sure, sure. All right, moving on. We got movie theaters are still not a huge fan of Netflix. They're refusing to show their big new film. So Netflix is producing or has produced and has created a sequel to Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It's called The Sword of Destiny. I don't know if you remember this movie. It came out probably 15 years ago. Phenomenal movie, won a ton of awards.
Yeah.
Netflix got the rights or worked with whoever created it to make a sequel to it, and it's coming out February 26th, which is I think today that we're recording. Yeah, so it came out today. You guys are gonna get this on Monday. Their big idea was to have it come out in theaters and be released to stream live on Netflix at the same time. Theaters hate Netflix because they feel like they're stealing their business model and they're destroying their industry. But Netflix is trying to bring them along, trying to help them and encourage them and letting them know this is going to be the way of the future. People are going to want to stream things. We're the largest provider of that right now. Like, let's partner together. But still, a lot of movie theaters are refusing to do that. Only a handful are going to show their new movie. I think it's like a dozen in IMAX theaters across the U.S. So, kind of a weird story. I don't know, man.
Yeah, that's, you know, big companies duking it out, and I don't think movie theaters are going to go away anytime soon. But yeah, I mean, the way people consume is definitely a lot more streaming predominant, I would say. But it is nice to every now and then get out of the house and go watch a movie, you know, even though it's totally outrageously overpriced. It's still nice to get out, but interesting that there's a little fight going on. But I can't wait to see this sort of destiny. I am a sucker for kung fu movies, and yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon was a great movie, and very excited. Can't wait to see it. Maybe we can watch it and get it on a review for you guys next week.
Yeah, and it's you guys should watch it too if you're listening, and we could talk about it, and you'll hear about how fun it was. Yeah, man, it's on Netflix, so check it out for sure. They tried to do this same thing. They came out with a movie called Beast of No Nation, and it had Idris Elba in it. I haven't seen it. I heard the reviews are really good of it. I heard it was a really great movie. I think the interesting thing is that Netflix is producing all these new films. I don't know why they necessarily want it to be in a theater. I mean, I feel like they have a built-in audience. People enjoy watching things on Netflix, and they still want to release it the same day. I don't know who would necessarily, if you had Netflix, go out and see it in a theater. I just don't see how you would produce enough income from that to make it worth it. I don't know. I just feel like I guess I could see maybe wanting to see this movie on a big screen would be interesting. I don't know. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they solve this problem. But I'm thrilled that they're producing such great content, and they're trying to make great movies like this to share with people instantly and right away. So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. This doesn't make sense to me if Netflix shouldn't want to put it on the big screen anyway. But whatever. It is very interesting, and I'm glad we brought it up this week. So moving right along, we have Netflix is teaming up with Attack on Titan Studio for a new anime series, I should say. So Netflix has acquired the original anime series from Production IG, the Japanese studio behind Ghost in the Shell, Attack on Titan, and the animated sequence in Kill Bill Volume 1, which is absolutely phenomenal. So this is pretty interesting. I know Hulu definitely has Netflix's number when it comes to anime. They have a way bigger catalog of anime than Netflix does. So I think this is great. This is a good move for Netflix.
Yeah, big time. You know my feelings about anime. But
you hate it, yes.
I don't necessarily hate it, but one of the only animes that I've really enjoyed in the past is Attack on Titan. I thought it was a phenomenal movie series. I don't know what it was, but I really enjoyed it, and I actually saw it on Netflix originally, so it's cool that they're teaming up with them to do this new one. It's called Perfect Bones. Apparently it's like a 12 episode series. It's set in the future where scientists have attempted to create the perfect human in hopes of keeping peace in the universe. After nearly achieving their goal through several children, the scientists send their new humans for further training, only for them to be kidnapped by the evil organization determined to use their powers to implement their own vision for their own world order, or their new world order. The series is directed by Kazuto Nakazawa. I don't know how to say that, but an anime veteran whose credits included Samurai Champloo, Blood Plus, and Steam Boy. Sounds like a cool plot, though, man. I mean, making like superhumans, and then they get kidnapped, and I don't know if they're going to let them become bad, or half of them become bad and half of them become good.
Yeah, I love anime, but I'm not like intently like follow, like I know names of directors. I know series, but I don't know directors of animes. But Samurai Champloo is one I am very familiar with, and it is a phenomenal series. It is these two samurais who were escorting this girl to find this other samurai, and they have this crazy adventure along the way. Great fight sequences, incredible fight sequences, great character growth. So if I like Samurai Champloo, I like Attack on Titan and Ghost in the Shell, I'm probably going to like this, Sean. So
yeah, no, I'm definitely going to check it out. You know, like, I've kind of been closed-minded to anime in the past, but like I said, Titan, Attack on Titan was one of my favorites so far. And if that's the same studio, and I love everything Netflix does, so I'm sure it's going to be a home run. Definitely give it a shot. I like the premise, sounds really interesting. So, yeah, definitely worth giving it a look.
Sounds dope. Okay, so moving right along, Deadpool is still on everybody's mind. It's still making boatloads of money. And since it's so popular and been so successful, rumors for Deadpool 2 have been just crazy. Everything. You know, they're like, oh, we want to do an X-Force. Oh, we're going to bring Cable. Oh, we're going to bring this person. Well, the newest one, we did talk about them wanting to cast a Cable for the next Deadpool movie. And they also have talked about casting Domino. Domino is a great mutant. My favorite comic book series with her was with Wolverine. It was Sex and Violence. And I don't know. I think that that's a perfect character to put in the next Deadpool movie. Apparently, the rumor suggests that one of Marvel's luckiest mutants, Domino, will be joining the cast of Deadpool 2. Domino, whose real name is Nina Thurman, seems to be a natural fit for the Deadpool series. She's a member of Cable's mercenary squad called the Six-Pack before joining Cable again as part of the X-Force. She's also been a love interest for Colossus, for Deadpool, for Wolverine. So I think this is a...
She gets around. That's what you're saying.
She gets around. She gets the Deadpool D and the Colossal D.
Man, the Colossal D has got to be ridiculous.
The Colossus D has got to be yikes. Yowza.
That's where she got that black eye from.
Nice. Yeah, but she's a good character, so I think that'll be a perfect fit for Deadpool 2. I really hope, a lot of people are thinking that this is going to be an X-Force movie. If that's true, this is a really good thing that I thought about it, or a really bad thing. Because if it's going to be an X-Force movie, there you have to have Wolverine in an X-Force. You have to.
Yeah.
But with Hugh Jackman filming his last Wolverine movie, he's not going to be in the next X-Force movie or Deadpool 2. So in my mind, they better get started on casting a new Wolverine, which could be a total disaster. But it's interesting nonetheless. I'm trying to think who I would like to be casted for this character of Domino.
Oh, yeah.
But I can't think of anything other than Kate Beckinsale, who does, like, the Underworld. Because she kind of looks like her, in my opinion.
Yeah, she'd be great for that.
And she's hot as shit. Yeah. So that would be great. But do you have anybody off the tip of your tongue you can think of?
No, man. I mean, I feel like you kind of nailed it with that one.
Yeah, I think she'd be a really great fit. But who knows? We thought we'd keep you posted on some Deadpool news. Very exciting since we just saw it. And yeah, so now you're in the loop. You're welcome.
You're welcome, guys. All right, so moving on to some tech news, I guess. Departure from our entertainment section. So everybody's heard Apple and FBI are facing off on this big unlocking an iPhone debate, debacle, whatever you want to call it. Apple is currently wrestling with the FBI and the Department of Justice, resisting a demand to build a backdoor to its iPhone, which would expose all information contained on this device. This is one of the most important legal questions to ever be raised in our society's undying struggle to balance public safety with personal liberty. Yeah, man, there's been so much news about this. I commend Apple for sticking to their guns. I get, like, the safety side of it. I don't know how much you've heard of it.
And just to be clear, this is about the San Bernardino shootings. Yeah. They're trying to get into their iPhones. So that's where that all came from, that horrible shooting that happened in California not too long ago. So that's what this is all about, in case you don't know what's going on.
For sure. And so the FBI, obviously, in their investigation, confiscated their phones, the dead suspects of this horrible tragedy. And then in the process of trying to get the information off it, locked and bricked the phones, because the government's great. You know, Apple's came out and said if they would have just called us in the first place, we could have easily got the information off. But they wanted to tamper with it, and they thought they knew best. And now that it's locked, we can't get in. That's how we built our phones, so that we couldn't even get the information off, because we believe our customers' security and privacy is paramount, right? Microsoft, Facebook, Twitter have all came out in the last couple weeks in support of Apple, saying that they're doing the right thing. So the big thing, I guess the issue is, Apple has created their software to not be tampered with. I mean, they want the privacy of their customers to be a very important part of their brand. So in doing that, it makes it impossible for even them to open a bricked phone, basically, without the user's password and stuff. And to get past this, the FBI and the court system is trying to get them to build in a backdoor. The problem is that this backdoor isn't just a one-off thing. It's going to be like they could use it on anybody's phone, anybody's iPhone at that point. And so there's no way to control it after it's created.
Right.
Which
right.
I get. It's like a right. scary thing.
And this gets into a kind of political thing, and me and Sean don't want to share our political views necessarily on this podcast, but I am in agreement with Sean. I think civil liberties are very important, and I totally agree with Sean and totally agree with, I think, the majority of people that we want our privacy. You can't just let the government, we all know that the government abuses the power whenever they had the chance. So I don't think that there should be any open door for the government trying to invade your privacy. These are horrible, horrible things that have happened, but I think the tragedy would make it even worse by violating civil liberties of Americans. And I totally commend Apple and stand, even makes me be proud that I am such a consumer of their brand, Sean. And it makes me proud that, hey, and great, good on Microsoft and Facebook and Twitter for coming out and supporting Apple as well. These huge giants in the tech world. I think if they all stand together and continue this, this outlook of thinking that people's privacy matters, we're going to be good. This is a very encouraging thing, and I'm glad that Apple stood up. That's great.
Yeah, I totally agree, man. I feel like, especially in today's you know, day and age, there are so many different factors to us living online. As far as, like, socially, we're connected all through Facebook, and we use our phones constantly. They were created to be an extension of our person, basically, now. I mean, they keep all of our information. They hold our... a lot of us have our banking information stored on them. Pretty much our whole lives are run through our technology. And for that to continue to be a part of our lives, I think there definitely has to be privacy. You know, I mean, I don't know. I get, like, wanting to get answers, wanting to use that technology, wanting to use that as an advantage. But there's other things that are already in place that keep the government out of our lives for a reason. I just can't. Yeah, I agree with Mike. I don't see it being worth our civil liberties being taken away. People were able to be arrested, and FBI agents were able to figure out who did what long before cell phones were around. And so to say that, like, we can't figure this out unless we get this iPhone unlocked.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was just about to say that, Sean. It's like they act like this is the only avenue that, yeah. Oh, if Apple allowed us to do this, we could solve terrorism. It's like, right? Really?
Like these,
really?
These two insane people who went on a rampage, like, I don't know, they act like they have the keys to ISIS on their phones or something.
Exactly. So. It's like, you know, they probably had a computer and also emailed people. Because people do that as well.
For sure.
It's like, no, 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 the Apple phones was a key. Yeah, I completely agree. That's a great point, Sean. It's fucking stupid.
It is. It's ridiculous. And I feel like it's a bit of the government trying to flex its power. And that doesn't make anybody happy. That makes everybody uncomfortable. I just, especially in, we live in a time where, like, the government is very scrutinized right now. We have, like, Black Lives Matter movement. Nobody trusts the government right now. Nobody trusts cops right now. And there's, like, this weird, we're getting to a point, especially, like, with digital content and media and internet and privacy and all those things, that it's just, like, coming to a point where, like, things are going to have to be set as laws. And so even little things like this, it just sends a ripple into the future because it sets a precedence that if they're able to make Apple do this and then they have technology to open anybody's phone. And it's a scary road, man. We've talked in the past about like games and stuff and how we like little things can change the future of something instantly by people taking advantage of other people. So hopefully it works out. Again, me and Micah, we don't want to get into politics on this channel, but it's all about technology. And like we talk about this every day. You know, we want to talk about video games and cool technology that comes out and all those things. So part of that is a responsibility as a community, privacy and being responsible with all that stuff. So.
And just a side note, just know that me and Sean don't always agree on everything. Actually, me and Sean have complete opposite views politically. So for us to agree on this is actually pretty incredible. So I don't want the listeners to think that this is just some bias. We're just stroking each other's ego here because it's an interesting topic. I'm glad we brought it up. It's totally a tech news involved in what I think the podcast is about. So anyway, tell us what you think about it. Tweet at us, you know, we would love to hear your thoughts.
And when Micah says we have differing opinions, he means I have the right ones and he has the wrong ones.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
He's in case you were wondering.
Left, I'm a little right. little political joke there.
And now you see why I'm always right and he's always wrong.
Yeah.
But
we're still best friends. Incredible, right?
Yeah, opposites attract, buddy.
Imagine two people who don't agree on something can still be awesome friends.
It's true.
I think the world could learn something from us, Sean.
Because we agree on the important things like superheroes and video games.
Yeah, really, you know, thing that makes the world go round. Yeah.
We just don't agree with each other on the dumb things like politics and
like healthcare and, you know, shit that doesn't affect us at all, like taxes. Who pays taxes? Actually, I just did my taxes. But anyway, moving right along. Well, we didn't have a ton this week. We don't want to just babble on about shitty content if we don't think that there's anything good to talk about. So we'll start the Q&A this week. What TV shows would you want Netflix to show or bring back? Not a remake. What do you think, Sean?
Man, I missed the shit out of King of the Hill. I don't know why.
It's on Adult Swim. I watch it every night.
I don't have Adult Swim.
Oh, yeah.
I cut that cable. It's gone.
I know.
Talking Netflix, yeah. Micah.
I would love King of the Hill to come back as well. Dude, that was great.
I don't know what it is about that show. It's not like, it's not my personality either of that kind of show. But it's just like something I could put on and it's just good, wholesome, just fun entertainment. I turn my brain off.
Yeah.
And there's like a billion episodes of it because it was on forever.
Damn it, Bobby.
Damn it,
yeah, Bobby. It's the best.
Yeah, it is a good one. How about you, man?
Oh, man, there's so many. I would like, I'm just a cartoon person and I'm an immature kid.
Sure.
But I would like all my childhood like cartoons. I wish Netflix had a bigger catalog of cartoons. Hulu actually has a good catalog of like the X-Men I watched like during the 90s. They have that. And just really fun cartoons, but still I would like for like Chippendale Rescue Rangers, Darkwing Duck, DuckTales, all those. That'd be fun to see come back. And even that'd be great for kids to watch.
Somebody had DuckTales on. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But Darkwing Duck would be bad. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. And I know, Hulu has a Robot Chicken, which is awesome. They have a lot of Adult Swim content, which is great.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but yeah, King of the Hill is fucking awesome. It's great.
Yeah, man. That would be great. I didn't watch a ton. I don't know, man. I know they have a lot on there. Freaks and Geeks I've watched a couple times through there. 70 Show, I think, is currently on there, which is a good show if you just want to laugh, I guess. Yeah, all these shows that I grew up with, pretty great. Family Matters is a good one. Step by Step.
Yeah, Step by Step, Full House, all the 90s like sitcoms. Those would be good to bring back. But again, they are bringing the Fuller House. So I guess they're trying to remake Full House. So
be cool if they brought back like the old G.I. Joe and Transformers and He-Man.
Yeah, cool. And obviously that's what people want because the reboots are left and right. So if they just bring back original content, it's almost like guaranteed viewership no matter what. You know what I mean?
I was watching the other day. It was on. I can't remember what digital subscription it was on. Me and my wife were flipping through and we saw Pee-wee's Playhouse was on and we watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, dude. That show was insane. Like, I remember seeing it when I was a kid, but I didn't realize like how insane it really is. Now,
yeah,
it's
it's fucking like you're on PCP,
dude. Those guys who made it had to have been just tripping balls the whole time, man. Dude, you know, yeah. Lawrence Fishburne is in it.
What?
Yeah, he plays like this cowboy. He's like, what? The episode we saw, we're like, okay, so we find it, we're like, let's watch it. This is funny. Like, we haven't seen this since we were kids, right? So we put it on and we're watching through, and then this like really horribly looking cowboy guy bursts through the door and it's Lawrence Fishburne.
Wow. Yeah. I'll have to look that clip up on YouTube. Right? Because I know it exists.
Yeah, it was pretty, that's it's pretty crazy, man. Jeez. Apparently he did it for like a couple episodes, like when he was first starting out. But not his character really. I mean, like, pretty shocking.
Yeah. Well, I would say like South Park or Archer, but it's like if you have Hulu and Netflix, like one always normally has the other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like South Park is on Hulu and then you have Archer on Netflix, and it normally if you have both, you have a good amount, so
it's true.
But oh well. Well, moving right along, another question we have for you guys. Should Nintendo pull a Marvel and just make great movies with their properties? Since they are doing shit in the video game world right now. I mean, there was a couple websites that brought this question up. I don't know where it started on the internet, but I think that's a great idea, Sean. Don't you?
Yeah. I mean, why not, man? You might as well. I think Link would be a great live action movie.
Dude, yeah. Like, do a Zelda movie? Yeah. That would be dope.
That'd be really cool.
Like a real life action movie, that'd be awesome.
Do you remember the Mario movie with John Leguizamo?
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was awesome. But even if they did like if they teamed up with Pixar to make like a Nintendo property, you know what I mean? Like a Yoshi thing or
yeah.
That would fucking break all box office records. I guarantee it. If like a great company like Pixar and took a Nintendo property and just fucking, because they make incredible movies. So
I'm shocked there hasn't been like a. I fucking hated it. It was just after my time or whatever, and I know it's probably within yours, but Pokemon, like a live action Pokemon movie, would kill it with all the people who love that game.
I hear Pokemon news all the time. There's that new Pokemon game coming out, Pokemon Sun and Pokemon Moon, but I didn't bring it up on the show because it's not super big news. But yeah, I mean, the Pokemon following is still ginormous. Do you remember in the Super Bowl, the most recent Super Bowl, there was a fucking Pokemon commercial?
Did you imagine like a live action movie of that?
What?
It would kill in the box office. Like the box office. As long as you did a good job.
Yeah, people's this might surprise some of our listeners, but they actually have new Pokemon packs you can buy. People still play Pokemon cards. Sure. Like,
yeah. It was literally
not
like,
as big as Magic, right. But it's still pretty big.
It was literally like right after I, like after my generation, like right after us, it hit big. And it's been a big thing up till now. Like still, like kids still play Pokemon, still watch Pokemon cartoons. I mean, it's a big part of culture still.
Yeah. And the Pokemon tournament is supposed to be coming to Wii U later this year, which I know a lot of people freaked out about because it's only a Japan game, I guess, right now. It's not an American game for Nintendo.
Oh, sure.
So people are losing their minds over that. But anyway, I think that'd be a great idea.
Sure, man.
I think if Nintendo, you know, is running into financial problems, there's your answer right there. Just fucking sell your properties and you'll be freaking trillionaire.
Yeah, as long as they're done well, I think it would be phenomenal. I think you could make a really good Sky Fox.
Star Fox? Fuck yeah. Star Fox would be dope. Yep.
And like a Diddy Kong and Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Donkey Kong would be really good. The list goes on.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they just had some sort of... If it was animated or they tried to go live action like with Zelda, like you said.
Dude, live action Zelda would be phenomenal.
It would be really good. Really good. So
get on it,
moving
Nintendo.
Right along. Get on it. Hello.
You dinks.
Next question we have for you guys is what games are you looking forward to? We put this when we're writing this question for the show, me and Sean were like, shit, there really isn't anything we're super excited for this year. I mean, yeah. I'm sure that, you know, we kind of went through a list online and we're just like, kind of, but nothing like Halo 5 or Call of Duty Black Ops or Star Wars Battlefront. Like, there was crazy good games last year, Sean.
Yeah.
And this is like, I know over 6 million people just played the Tom Clancy's The Division beta. It just ended, I think, last week, and it's coming out March 8th. And that game looks like a lot of fun. It's a third-person shooter, kind of MMORPG. That's kind of the new thing, kind of like a Destiny thing. But it's kind of like terrorists took over the world, and you're this elite Black Ops force that's trying to clean everything up. It looks pretty cool. I didn't play the beta, but I heard good things. Yeah, and then Far Cry Primal just came out. Gears of War 4, their beta is supposed to come in spring. But Sean, is there anything that you're thinking of? Is this a bad lineup for 2016, or are we just stupid?
You know, I mean, the thing is, like, they're always going to come out closer to the holidays, and we're a long ways off from that. And there's always a dry spell in the summer. I think game sales just drop in that time. Anyways, but I know like there's like a Deus Ex game coming out, and I played that before, the original ones. Halo Wars 2 is coming out in third quarter.
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. That's gonna be great.
Yeah, so a lot of things start coming out third quarter, fourth quarter. I mean, we got like Resident Evil 5, Gears of War 4.
Right, so it's towards like Christmas time probably again, all the good titles will come out. That's a good point. Yeah.
But yeah, a lot of that stuff. But yeah, coming up immediately, there's not a ton coming out, which is a bummer. But we do have a lot of good games right now to catch up on. I still have a lot of Fallout left to play.
I still want to go through The Witcher, damn it.
Me too, man. I need to get it. Good thing is it's going to be cheaper now.
Oh, so yeah, exactly. We could experience it for dirt cheap.
Yeah.
But I feel like I earned that because I fucking got robbed with Destiny. Yeah. And when they came out with the year 2 version with the Taken King, it was like $60 for literally over $100 worth of content for people who have. Yeah, it was that still. I'm still salty about that.
Totally agree.
But you guys tell us what you are excited for in the 2016 lineup. We would love to hear your opinions and thoughts. So, yeah.
Definitely. And if you want to give us those opinions and thoughts, you want to play with us on Rocket League, or you want to let us know what you're excited about that's coming out over the next year, we're still wanting to do our Better Call Saul roundup every week. So both of us are trying to get caught up on that. So hopefully next week we'll talk about 1 and 2, episode 1 and 2. But yeah, we have a lot of stuff coming up. We're really excited. If you guys want to reach out to us, like always, you can find us on Twitter. I'm sorry, Twitter, not Twitter. I don't know what I was saying there. You can always reach out to us on our Twitter account, which is at 5280nerd. You can reach myself at Sean H. Porter. You can reach Micah at
Vash0077.
And like always, definitely reach out to us on iTunes. Subscribe there. Leave comments there. We'd love to hear how we're doing, if we're doing a good job or a bad job. Either way, and if you want to give us stars, that always helps for sure for other people to find the show. And you can find us on our website at 5280nerd.com. It has all of our previous episodes on there. A little bit about who we are. You can also contact us through email through there. But yeah, we love you guys, and we're excited for another fun-filled year. We got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe that we're going to be giving to you guys, so stay tuned.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a good one. Vincent Del D'Onofrio or whatever his name is.
Man, the Colossus D has got to be ridiculous.
The Colossus D has got to be yikes. Yowza.
That's where she got that black eye from.
Nice.